Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Triple Jump podcast. It's a video game podcast. My name is Ben.
My name is Peter.
And my name is Ashton.
It's been a while since someone's tweeted us and said, hey, look at my high school personal best for the Triple Jump. Do you ever see these?
No.
Oh, I mean, yeah, what? it's been like a year and a half since.
It has been a long old time. Yeah. So occasionally, high school athletes
America. When you said high school, I was like, what are they doing high school in like a video game?
Did you say high school or high school?
I thought you said high school.
I said high school. Well, I intended to say high school anyway.
Mm. Oh, maybe you did say I just heard.
No, I also at first thought he said high school.
High school athlete.
Actual triple jump.
Actual triple jumpers. Okay, For some reason, it's always Americans.
Yeah.
And they tag us along with loads of actual coaches.
Yeah.
And I don't know why they just, I mean, I don't know how you can mess that up. Really,
I like to untag us from the conversation when they do that.
Yes, that's helpful. I didn't know you could do.
You can just remove me from the conversation, and it just basically makes your like ads just not clickable because you just remove yourself.
Oh, that's cool.
Because when people tag me in like crypto nonsense,
right.
I always like remove myself from that conversation.
I always invest in the crypto when people do.
Really?
That.
Yeah. You must have no money
or loads.
I've never invested in crypto ever. Just to record immediately.
He's getting quite defensive about it. Stop shouting, Peter.
Well, apart from my 200 Bitcoin, but you know, they're just kicking around.
They're worthless, aren't they?
Yeah.
You don't need those.
Sorry, did you have something you wanted to say about that?
No. I was just saying specifying that it's a video game podcast. And actually, it's been a while since we've been confused for an athletics entity, which is kind of sad. So if you want to send us some tweets and just say, hey, I did the triple jump today and I didn't jump very far because I'm not a professional athlete, that would be great.
I think
ideally in a sandbox, so it's like real.
Yeah. The little one made like a plastic turtle.
Yeah.
I think we're so famous and successful now as Triple Jump that actually various sports associations are getting tags about video games.
Mm-hmm.
They're getting tweets like, hey, just finished watching your latest podcast at Triple Jump Association America.
So they should. We had the same thing of Vidiots as well. That flipping
video shop, like a VHS.
Cinema type thing.
Yeah, or both, I think.
They're Vidiots. They're also called Vidiots, but they've got some other suffix.
Mm. Right.
But we often are tagged. Like, had a great time at Vidiots
official
tonight. You're like, thanks so much.
You're very welcome. Like, it's not us. That's not us, actually. But no, we are a video game podcast, and we are currently fighting our way through Storm Kieran. No association of our editor.
We've not got it very bad at all.
No.
It's a bit windy and it's a bit rainy.
It's a bit rainy.
But there's literally parts of England that are getting like 100-mile-an-hour winds.
It's dreadful.
Yeah.
And we will continue to complain about our 20-mile-an-hour winds.
I got wet socks, and that's bad, okay? I'm allowed to be upset about that. I do, yeah. I've had 2 days of wet pants after cycling in, so I brought spare pants.
Why don't you go into the toilet with the hairdryer and just stick your bum under it?
Because
or take your pants off and then hand dry the...
See, that's that's not a bad idea.
Do it in your toilet.
That's fine. I've done it before. When it was really bad last year, I think there was about four of us going downstairs and just hand drying. Right. Not all together,
separately.
Well, that's the thing. I'd probably have to take them off to do that because
I don't think I can contort
that way to position myself under the hand dryer. And also, it's your bathroom. I don't want to...
You can just like Winnie the Pooh it for 2 minutes while you hand dry your
pants. Keep that t-shirt on.
T-shirt stays on.
Yeah, as long as the door's locked, you're fine.
But
no,
I don't
want to
go barefoot in a bathroom.
But keep your... shoes on then? I don't know.
My shoes are wet. Everything is wet.
Then use the hand dryer. I don't see what the problem is here.
I'm going to slow down. This hypothetical situation is getting away from me. I brought spare pants and socks today, and that's
yeah, but they got wet. You said that they got wet.
They did get a bit wet in my
bag.
So
why didn't you dry them before you put them on? Because then you wouldn't be barefoot. But you wouldn't be bare bum. Would you?
My bum. My problem is having to go barefoot in the bathroom. Mm. That's sort of where I draw the line.
Well, if you bring a spare pair and they get wet.
But if they're wet, how am I?
Keep them here. Have some office shoes.
If you've bought a spare pair and you're wearing a pair of pants and socks, hold the spare pair that have got wet in your bag under the dryer whilst wearing the spare pair of pants, the pants and socks you had on this morning.
Yeah.
Dry the spare pair, then change.
Right.
And then at no point will you need to have bare feet.
I think I'm just going to have to live at the office, aren't I? I think that's probably the easiest solution.
Why don't you just not get wet?
Yeah.
Just hover. Just sort of glide in like an ethereal being.
Yeah.
And that would solve a lot of
problems. Or get a very, very waterproof bag and then you can keep just dry clothes in your bag and they won't get wet through. Because that's, I don't know if you've said
that bike.
Detail.
Just don't bike.
Ben brought spare clothes in his bag and they just got wet in the bag.
They did. It wasn't too bad, to be clear, but like on the bottom of the bag gets very wet because it all spraying up the back of me, the mud and the water and stuff. So yeah, it's, it can't last forever, right? And then the snow will bring new joy.
Yeah.
And I can't
and
wait.
The ice.
And the black ice.
Yes, yeah. I'm going to die. So that'll be fun. But this isn't a podcast about weather and keeping your clothes dry. This is a podcast about video games. Mm. And each and every week we're sponsored by a very real video game adjacent sponsor to help us keep the lights on and that beautiful heater that is keeping us nice and warm. It's lovely. I've got the ad read in front of me here. This is
not here.
No, I can't see.
Oh, him. Dead Island 2 the Spider.
No, is it spider hibernation season? I don't know if they hibernate. I don't know much about spiders.
Maybe they're off celebrating the new DLC that's just come out. Dead Island 2 house. They're in their Dead Island 2, the spider house.
Yeah, they could be. Having a house party.
Indeed.
So exciting. I wish we could be there.
Yeah.
It's a bit unconventional, this one. It's like a sort of like a police missing persons appeal that I've got here.
Oh.
They're looking for the owner of like a big lizard garden. They're not sure who it is or where he's gone. Maybe he changed his name or I'll tell you what, I'll just read it.
The lizard garden.
The owner of the lizard garden.
Oh, right, okay.
They're looking for the owner. Pay attention. They're looking
I'm
for
pretty
the
sure
owner.
You said they're looking for a Pizza, big lizard
they're
garden.
They're looking for the owner of a big lizard garden.
Right.
Okay. I'll just read it for you.
Okay, yeah.
So police are searching for like a dragon garden, the man who erased his name.
Right. Oh, wow.
Did you say like in there?
Police are searching for like a dragon garden, the man who erased his name.
I see. Very good.
Right.
That's what it says on the police report. So
If
you could all keep an eye out for like.
Maybe he's called Luke.
Luke.
A dragon garden.
Yeah.
The man who. No, because then he hasn't erased
but
his name.
But that implies that they're looking for the dragon garden.
Yeah, which is
we're
what
looking
you did say
for,
to begin
we're
with,
looking for. Like
no, but that's
dragon
what the
garden.
Qualifier like is. Like, it's kind of free flowing. Maybe they don't mean the garden. They certainly are looking for a man who erased
they're not
his
have
name.
Much success,
this police officer.
Police
they're
are looking
very,
for like
bumbling around.
A dragon garden. Man,
there's no ambiguity there. That means they are looking for a dragon garden.
Listen, I'm just reading what's on the paper, okay? I don't work for this particular police force, but they have paid us money to read this out.
Right. Wow.
The man who erased his name. So if you see him.
Question mark.
If you see him, please let them know.
No description given at all.
He's the owner of the dragon garden. That's the description. So if you see a man prowling around the dragon garden.
I'm still convinced they're looking for the dragon garden.
Sounds like they are.
Maybe that like, I'm working
maybe
with the same information.
Like, if
you
we
are.
Find the dragon garden, we'll find the man who erased his name.
It's possible.
Maybe if it was Luke a dragon garden rather than like it would be Luke, comma, a dragon garden. Like
yeah, maybe
say,
if it
ben
was
Potter,
better.
Newcastle.
Oh, okay. So you're saying where he is.
Yeah.
Like his location.
Comma is where he's so
Luke. A dragon garden. Age 35.
Yeah.
A
man who changed his name.
The man who erased his name. Yeah. But then how does that make sense? The man who erased his name.
Maybe a dragon garden is his nickname.
Right.
Luke, who's also known as a dragon garden.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
The man who erased his name.
Or maybe that's his alias.
Yeah.
Dragon.
A dragon garden.
Maybe
dragon
his name garden. Is Luke A. Dragon Garden. Luke Aaron Dragon
Guard. He's German.
Dragon Gooden. You know what? It's actually not real.
Wow.
Unfortunately.
Who saw that coming?
No, we're not sponsored by Like a Dragon Gaiden, the man who erased his name. We are, of course, sponsored by our wonderful patrons over at patreon.com/teamtriplejump. If you go and support us there at the appropriate tier, you get access to all sorts of stuff, including submitting questions for this podcast. Now, guys, there have never been more patrons.
This is true.
And that's amazing. Yeah. And we're humbled and we love you all. Thank you so much. But there's been a bit of a slip up recently in terms of questions submitted for this podcast. And we do need your help to answer questions for this podcast. We had to put out an emergency appeal this week because, well, we did have some questions. They weren't exactly what we were looking for because we prefer, as we do every week now, to cover sort of topical news stories. So if you want to pretty much, outside of, you know, becoming a podcast producer, if you want to almost guarantee that you're going to get in the podcast and get your name read out and your question read out, have a look at what the biggest stories of
the top stories
of the week are and submit them in question form. And like, we'll probably do it. So patreon.com/teamtriplejump. If you are a patron already, make sure you're getting your podcast questions in because we want them and we love them. So do it.
Yeah.
And thank you. Also, there's an episode of Rules Boss coming out.
There is this weekend. Well, it's coming out on Friday. So it'll be out already. Yeah, if you're a patron.
It's a really good one as well. I was just going to say, it's good. You guys haven't seen it. Or have you seen it?
I haven't seen it. I just was there when we filmed it.
It's very well edited. I mean, you know, it was a good one to begin with the recording, but Kieran's gone all out. So,
good. Yeah. So you're in for a treat.
If you're somehow unfamiliar, we have recently introduced Main Menu and Rules Boss's exclusive shows to our Patreon after we couldn't really justify doing it on YouTube anymore because the revenue wasn't there. However, through Patreon, we are able to keep these shows alive. And it's at the $5 tier. And you get all of it.
Mm-hmm.
And these shows are releasing every month. So you get Main Menu 1 month, you get Rules Boss the next month. Is this the first or second Rules Boss?
This is the first Rules Boss outside of the SMTJ Live.
Yeah.
Yes. So this is the first proper Rules Boss that we've done. And the way we can do it on Patreon is that we're allowed to swear and use licensed content like music and stuff in the edit because it's not going on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like the best version of Rules Boss. Mm-hmm. So come and check it out if you want. Patreon.com/teamtriplejump and submit those questions as well, please, for the podcast. Our website's triplej.mup. There you can find links to everything. That's tripleju.mp. Our YouTube, our Twitch, our Discord, if you want to get a cameo message from any of us or James Jenkins. And, you know, Christmas is coming up, so it might be a good time to get a message for someone that you love who wants a message from us, maybe. Our shop. It's triplejumpshop.com. If you go there, you can buy some lovely merch. Ashton's wearing a hoodie right now.
Yeah.
Peter is wearing an old hoodie, but we do sell something similar.
Yeah.
But in black.
On the shop. And I'm wearing a Butter Tendo shirt, and we don't sell those.
No.
What's out this week on the channel, please?
It's a big list again this week. It's another ranked video. Yes?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes. And it is a... Should I tell you what it is? It's out already, so I guess I can.
Yes, you can.
It's every Wolfenstein game ranked from worst to best.
Mm. Seems like a long time since we recorded that.
Yeah, it's been a while. We shuffled some things around in the order.
Mm.
But yes, that's out right now.
Weirdest games ever as well. It's a weirdest games week. Again, if you're a patron, you will have seen it already last week. But it's out for everyone else. And that was Space Station Silicon Valley.
Mm-hmm.
Well, in fact, it's out for everyone tomorrow. If you're watching or listening early to this podcast, it's not out yet. Unless you go and join Patreon right now, you can go and watch it.
Go watch it.
But yeah, Space Station Silicon Valley / Evo Space Adventure.
Yes, there is a slash in there.
Mm. It's a very weird one. Also, nice announcement. We have two The Park speedrun placements on the podium now, which is exciting. We did this on our sleepover stream last week. We did a speedrun of The Park, which is the brilliant horror game we play every Halloween on stream.
Mm-hmm.
And we got... I think silver for the PS4 no out of bounds glitchless run.
Mm-hmm.
And we got bronze in the just general no out of bounds glitchless run. So there we are.
Wow.
We didn't even try. We got two.
Yeah.
Look at us go.
So good.
It wasn't even the category I was aiming for to begin with. Because
no?
They're just, it's a really well run speed running community for some reason. And there's loads of different categories and filters.
Where's Swan Ride Percent? Come on.
We need to add Swan Percent to the... They actually sent me a message, the moderator, and said, oh, by the way, I retimed it because we actually start the timer at the end of the cutscene or something like that and moved you into the correct category. So I do have an in with the moderation. Wow. I could say, hey, could we...
Can you put add a category?
Can we have Swan Percent, please?
Yeah.
Where all you do is run straight to the Swan. That would be immediately completely optimized to an unbeatable level by someone who knows what they're doing.
Yeah. Skip all the cutscenes and stuff. Yeah. I would love that. I'll try it. It's not very active, but I will suggest it. And finally, of course, the Tat Appeal is open. If you're listening on the release day of this podcast, I think you have 2 weeks until the Tat Appeal closes. That's on the 18th of November. Thank you to everyone who's already sent in your Tat. We want your weirdest games. We want your worst games and your general Tat as well. Mm-hmm. Whatever you want to send us, you don't have long left. So if you're dillying or dallying, get on it.
And remember, you don't have to have it arrive by November 18th. So if you're worried it's not going to arrive in time, you've still got a little bit of wiggle room after November 18th. Just don't send it past that time because we might not have the opportunity to open it on the Tat Appeal video.
Yes. TripleJR.mub/tat if you want to see the address and find out more information about the Tat Appeal 2023. Thank you, everyone.
Thanks.
It's time for question one.
Question one comes from Jens Herman. I'm just opening up a relevant read as well. Jens Herman says, hello Bapperoonies, what do you think about Silent Hill Ascension's first stream? I brought an article here from Kotaku that when I sent it to myself was entitled Silent Hill Ascension is dead on arrival. In the space of about 15 minutes, they seem to have now changed that to there's finally a new Silent Hill game and fans already hate it.
Or maybe they realized that was a bit too strong.
Yeah, you can still see it in the metadata there at the top.
You can.
This is written by Ashley Bardham. I'm going to scroll back down to... So, how does Ascension really work? $20 is what I pay for movie tickets, so the Founders Pack price alone doesn't bother me much. But those who watched...
It should bother you.
But those who watched Ascension's first episode say the game's unpleasant user experience and abysmal live show aren't worth the price. I watched parts of the first episode on its Ascension.com archive and found that while the monsters look admirably repulsive, it's difficult to connect with Ascension's characters when their mouths don't move.
This is true. I've watched the first...
What? Their mouths don't move?
Yeah.
They don't move properly.
Can we get a general overview of what this is before we
go into more detail? Ascension is essentially a live stream video game. So they've made a game, and if you're watching at the time, which if you're in America, it's a decent time, but if you're anywhere else in the world, it's at like 1 or 2 a.m. in the morning, if not later on. Mm-hmm. And essentially, while you're watching, you can make decisions. So it's like a kind of a choose your own adventure movie, but you can make decisions in the moment, and then there is a few that you can make overnight before the next episode airs. Essentially, it follows, I think, 3 different characters' storylines, and you get to make decisions for each of them as you go through, and it's essentially a Silent Hill game, but it's really weird. It's got its own platform that you have to use in order to like access it. You have to use points in order to vote on each decision. Each decision costs 200 points to vote for. When you join up, you get given 2,000 points just like for signing up. In order to get more points, you have to complete puzzles that are in this in-app thing. But unless you pay the Founders Pack, you only get access to one puzzle per day, which only gives you, I think, 1,000 points. So if you're really into it, you can make potentially 5 submissions to each decision per day. And some people are putting in like 40,000 points into like one decision. And from what I can gather, that's going to basically sway the decision one way or the other because they're putting in so many points, most people aren't paying that much money. There's like a live chat, there's stickers, there's an archive. So if you miss it, like me, you can go back and watch all the episodes back again. But essentially it's a choose your own narrative thing, but it's a collective approach to it. Yeah. But it's a Silent Hill game in the sense that it is, you know, spooky and...
In universe.
Yeah, we talked about it a bit when it was first announced.
When we were trying to work out what the hell it was, because they didn't explain it very well.
Yeah.
But the characters' mouths don't move properly. I also noticed that when switching tabs for a few minutes, the Ascension website would automatically kick me out of its video player and reset my watch time.
Yeah, mine did that.
it then sort of continues. It's quite a bulky article, this, actually, the more I look at it. But people are complaining that the chat is an absolute hellscape.
They said there's, I think I saw a few write-ups say that there's clearly no moderation.
Well, so
there's just no filter at all on chat, huh? Popular Reddit comment said. People are able to spam Hideo Kojima. Oh, no.
Yeah,
Oh, for God's sake.
That's bad.
I thought that they put, like, there was a ban on words like Kojima.
So they did. So in the article I found from Games Hub, they said that they had, so this service that they're using, whatever it is, they put a bunch of the block list in place well in advance, but apparently the system they're using does not seem to respect the block list and just lets people post it anyway. And then the moderators who were on hand during the live stream saw that their moderations were taking over 10 minutes to actually go through.
Wow.
So people were like just getting stuff coming in. But there was like, there was what Peter just showed us and worse in the chat, because of course there was.
I won't elaborate on exactly what they've written here. It's not like, to be clear, it's not a sort of an insult against Hideo personally. It's just...
it's a dig at Konami, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a kind of an immature and kind of graphic remark. But there's no filter on chat at all, huh? People are able to spam Hideo Kojima and boost it so it gets pinned to the top of chat.
Yeah.
This is so flipping bad.
Yeah. Also, there's a thing where you can put stickers on the screen.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a sticker that if you've paid the Founders Pack, it says, it's trauma.
In rainbow colouring.
In rainbow colouring. Oh. So as people are literally dying, the stickers are just like appearing on the screen.
It just completely ruins it's trauma. It just doesn't make sense.
It's so strange.
What were they? I don't know. I suppose that's what we're going to talk about.
Yeah. So should I tell you what I've watched so far?
Yes, because we were talking about yesterday in the office, weren't we?
Yeah.
And I said, has anyone looked at this? Because I'm desperately, I heard that it was airing on like Halloween night.
Yeah.
And obviously it's 3 a.m. for us and I'm not going to stay up and watch it. But at this point, I still didn't know how it worked. Part of me, foolishly, assumed it would be on YouTube or Twitch and there would be some sort of website you could go to input your votes because it was all promised to be free.
Mm-hmm.
But no, it's like a create an account. You have to use this app, Hellscape, that that like basically
UI is a nightmare.
Stops everyone from wanting to play. So that when I downloaded the app, it asked me to create an account and I was like, I'm not going to do that.
Yeah.
And then I said it to Ashton.
And I made
an
account.
I'll make an account.
Yeah.
I use my Triple Jump email so they can't bother my personal email.
Good idea.
But so essentially I watched the first episode was about half an hour long. And it split up into like three chapters, of which I assume, because it doesn't actually tell you when you're rewatching it, there is decisions that have been made throughout this first part.
Right.
So it kicks off with a character called Rachel, who is one of the characters that you follow, and she's performing some kind of like ritual with someone called Joy, and the ritual starts going wrong, and on having looked into it, that's when you make the first decision of how should she carry on, should she stop, should she like whatever. The vote voted for carry on and Joy dies straight away, basically. And then that's the end of the first part. And then you follow a different character whose name I can't remember, who is vaguely Scandinavian. And he is got a sick wife and two daughters and his wife's a bit horrible. And he gets kind of like in a dream sequence of sorts, gets chased by a monster, and then the wife is dead. And his daughter just assumes it was him or that he didn't do anything about it at the time. And it's kind of like, well, did he, didn't he? And then there's decisions that you can make now that are like, tell so-and-so about this thing or go to the foundation and tell them why you think Joy died or whatever. But I was voting on these like things yesterday, having not watched it. And watching it this morning, this first chapter already includes the decisions that were made like on the website that presents. The website presents you with some initial decisions that when you go on the website. And then when I was watching it, I was like, oh, wait, that's just the thing I just voted for. But this was clearly happened at the time.
Done.
So, yeah. So it's a bit strange. And that's the kind of the gist of the first episode, is that it's setting up that these characters, something's going wrong. Rachel works for the Foundry. This other guy maybe killed his wife. And I think there's a third character, but I'm not sure. It's a bit confusing because it jumps back and forth between each of them in all of the three chapters. And it's just not always entirely clear what's going on. Mm. And like you say, the mouths don't move when they're talking. The voice acting's good, but like they'll be talking and the mouth's just kind of going, bah, 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 bah. And it's like, okay, she's not saying these words. And it doesn't look great, but I mean...
It must be difficult, or maybe not difficult, I guess you know what you're signing up for, but as a developer who will have worked on various like scenes and branches that if everyone votes for option B...
Well, this is what we said the last time, wasn't it?
Yeah, but then if everyone ends up... If the decision goes option A... That work is never, ever going to be seen or used. At least with, you know, something like Until Dawn, various different players will see, everything will be seen eventually by everyone or by a lot of people. But it must be kind of strange to think like, oh, I spent like 3 weeks on that chapter and it's just not going to happen now.
I also got really bored. Mm-hmm. And I didn't watch the second episode because I just was bored. It was just boring because you can't make any decisions... Like, which is kind of the whole point. You're just watching a TV show that doesn't look very good, that isn't like very interesting.
And there's like chat.
And there's like chat spamming at the side. Like, and the chat when I was watching it were people who I guess were also watching it at the same time, but they were just putting like random stickers in because obviously no one can make any decisions. People were just like spamming stickers and stuff.
Because the chat, I think I read, is constantly live even when, like, it's just always live.
Yeah.
So it's almost like a little Discord Twitch community that people are just going in there and presumably not being great.
Yeah.
But they're just there all the time because it doesn't stop. No. For some reason, it doesn't shut down between episodes.
When I was watching it yesterday, there was just this one guy in chat who just kept going, boring, in like capital letters.
What are you doing with your life?
Just shouting in chat. And well, I was like, is there just no mods? Like no one's here to just stop this guy just spamming the chat? It's
weird. James yesterday said that... apparently some swear words are, or at least have been moderated. Haven't been. He says like people were able to like throw in all kinds of swears, but seemingly the words Hideo Kojima were actively being like removed from chat.
Mm-hmm.
So they were happy to like actively get rid of that, but like weren't so bothered by just outright slurs and stuff.
Yeah.
It's an interesting concept, but it doesn't make sense.
Well, that's it, isn't it? I think it's really interesting. When they announced it, I think everyone was going,
what is this?
What is this? How does this work? And there are definitely ways they could have done this because, you know, people love the Dark Pictures anthology games. And yes, you do play through them. But half the fun is making the decisions and like, which way do we go? What do we say to this person? How do we react? That kind of stuff.
And replaying, I think, is fun.
Exactly.
To do different things.
This company, I believe, is it Genvid?
Genvid,
they've made stuff like this before. I think maybe they did a Walking Dead one at some point, but I've never heard of them or never heard of this. Like, this isn't the first time that they've done this, essentially. Mm. This isn't their first go at this format. But it clearly doesn't work. And I don't know if Konami said... presumably they did, we want to make some money from this, but it was never communicated ahead of time that there would be a premium element to this.
Mm-hmm. No.
I think some kind of regularly, because I didn't even know that it's like they're airing new 15-minute episodes every night.
Yeah.
Like I didn't even know that. Yeah. I thought it was just going to be maybe like a big first one and then they'll say, right, the next one's this time, make sure you come back and see the results of your decision. Why, if you went to all the effort of rendering this story in an engine and having all these actors act it out and stuff, why wouldn't you release it as some sort of thing you could download to your console or your PC or something like that and then make the decisions for yourself? I get they want the community aspect, but when the community aspect is so horrendously mismanaged, like how could they not have foreseen it going this way?
Yeah.
And the UI on the app is horrible.
It's so confusing.
You don't even get full screen. Presumably there's an option to make the video full screen, but like when it's not full screen, the entire bottom half has got loads of symbols. There's like different currencies. It's been described as a battle pass by a lot of people, and it looks like the landing page for a live service game.
Yeah.
It's mental. I don't know what they were thinking with this.
Yeah. When you go like, if you can full screen the window, but you can't actually full screen the video in the window. And then when you pop out chat, it like shrinks everything down to really small. But because Silent Hill is so dark, like you almost lose where the video ends and like the black bars begin because you can't actually see what's going on. But yeah, I was very confused about like what videos were the like correct videos to watch. It's like, oh, catch up on the episode. So you can catch up on clips and you can catch up on the episode. So you're like, okay, so the episode's the thing that I'm supposed to watch. But then the clips are also part of it, but they're not in the episodes tab. I don't know. It's very confusing. I don't know if it's all the time, but I don't know if it's just me being slow and not understanding the website, but they don't explain it. Like, nothing's really clear. There's like a little video at the beginning that's like, here's how you play the game. Play the game. And then you watch like a little video where they tell you like, this is the premise of it. And then they're just like, okay, and now here's the website. And you're like, what? This website wasn't in your information video. I'm confused.
Right.
It's very strange.
As crap as this is, obviously, it's not great. And I feel like even if the story turns out to be good, it's not going to be able to, you know, get away from the fact that it's just a very unpleasant experience to actually get involved. My only hope for this is that they eventually release it as some sort of standalone thing where, no, you don't physically control the characters.
Yeah.
But yes, it is all available as an app that you pay a bit of money for, and it's Silent Hill Ascension, and you can vote in real time on what you know, like a normal game. Yeah. It'll pause and you can make a decision, like an FMV game or something.
Mm-hmm.
Because this really does, again, as crap as it is still a Silent Hill game, and that's significant. And it really does, this feels to me like a prime candidate for potential lost media further down the line.
Yeah.
If it's stuck here and we've just got videos of like the one path that ended up being played, you know, Konami pulls the plug early or something, this game still should be preserved. And the only way I can see it being preserved is probably the best way to experience it anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Because I'd be interested in, you know, getting together with you guys and having some drinks. And,
yeah, and just playing through
it. We love games like that. It's great. It's a great party sort of thing, but I don't know what they were thinking here.
Yeah.
It's all baffling. Very strange.
It could have just been like, they could have done it way more simply and just made it like a big Silent Hill event happening on Twitch or on YouTube or, you know, and the kind of infrastructure is sort of there, but far more simplified. And it's just a live evening where a story plays out and people are voting in chat. There's functionality on Twitch and on various streaming platforms that allow you to do chat-based voting quite easily. Or you could have had a companion app with it.
Mm-hmm.
But then it's just, you know, sit down and watch it. Or maybe it happens over 3 nights or something.
I don't actually know how long of an event it is. Does anyone know?
No. Absolutely no idea. The first one was like a 30 to 45 minute episode.
It was 30 minutes, yeah.
And then the next ones are like 15 minutes. But I don't know how many there are.
I don't know how many.
But no, it sounds like they've just really bogged it down in kind of all kinds of issues.
They plopped the bed here. It's just too many barriers to entry. And, you know, as you said, Ashton, if you're not in the States, why would you want to go to the extra effort of having to... you know, wade through the UI to replay it.
What would have been really interesting, actually, is every like continent getting their own version of the game and then seeing how different places play.
Yeah.
That would have been so interesting. Like, you give Europe a show that's at like 8 p.m. and then, you know, America's is at like 1 a.m. for us, 8 p.m. for them. And you're like, well, they did this and we did that. And it's interesting to see how different continents do it. But no, the only people get to play is America. The most important country in the world, obviously.
When is the most important country in the world?
All those psychopaths in Antarctica voting for the darkest option.
Yeah.
Another thing they could have done, if they really wanted to lean into like the interesting streamer element, is basically make all the live streamers in the world sign in like an NDA or like an agreement that here's an embargo. You've all got to play it if you're going to do it, you've got to play it at this time. So you're all playing at the same time. You get Jackbox style servers and everyone's own communities play through it at the same time.
Mm.
And people can vote that way. And that way they can have their own experience. They can get through the whole thing in one go. It's not drawn out. It's like you could still do weird, interesting community stuff if you wanted to, and it would still raise eyebrows. Like, well, you know, if the streamers like got the thing there, then why don't they just, you know, why can't we just play at home, etc. But at least it would be a bit more user-friendly and a bit more custom,
bespoke. And then probably everything you know, across various streamers, probably every permutation would actually end up being generated.
So, and a lot of people would talk about Silent Hill, a lot more people, and in a lot more positive way than it is currently.
And you wouldn't just have like one guy dumping like 50,000 points on one decision and suddenly like every other thing is just like, because you'll see like, they'd be like top donation is like 50,000 IP, which is the points. And the other two have got like 15 or like 10,000 that someone's putting. You're like, well, no one's ever going to catch up if the three people you're showing me on this one's got like 40,000 points.
Yeah. This is the beginning of Silent Hill's big comeback, or it's supposed to be anyway. This is the beginning of Konami. That's, you know, the Konami that's meant to be returning as a juggernaut publisher again with the Metal Gear Solid Master Collection, which isn't
that
very good.
And so well,
this Silent Hill Ascension, which isn't very good and is annoying everyone. It's like it doesn't bode well. And then you got bloody Bloober Team make it. I still am baffled by the fact that Bloober Team is making the Silent Hill 2 remake.
I'm
prepared to be surprised. I want it to be good. But they're not off to a good start across the board, Konami, with this recent push. And literally any other approach would have raised the stock of the Silent Hill name and also come across well, you know, with fans and gotten more people talking about it if they let streamers
get in
the action.
It's all about money. That's all it's about. It's adding in the point system and the games and everything. That's just money. That's what they're like. If you want to experience this how it's supposed to be experienced, you have to give us £20.
I would love to know what the viewing figures are like when the final episode goes out. Because I tried
to Google it to see if there was any way people knew, but doesn't seem to be any stats or anything.
They're doing it all internally.
They didn't tweet to be like, wow, 50,000 viewers last night. So, you know, I would assume it wasn't that good.
It is dead on arrival in that I don't know how many people who experienced the first round will want to come back for more. Mm-hmm. And certainly it's not going to attract new people at this point with all the press it's getting. But there we are. Make sure you let us know if you watched it and you enjoyed it or what you make of it. But oh boy, not great.
No. Well, speaking of watching games that you would rather be playing, we've come up with a new segment in honor of that. We're calling What We Playing. Mm.
It's What We Playing time. Time to talk about the games what we have been playing. Peter,
yeah.
What have you been playing?
I've only played the one game, actually.
Okay.
but I have rolled credits on Spider-Man. Mm-hmm. I believe we all have at least rolled credits, if not maybe done even more than that. Mm-hmm. And I really, really, really enjoyed it. I think it's certainly going to be in my top five games of the year that we do every January. Will it be top three? Will it be number one? I don't know yet. I need to think about it. But I had a great time. I really enjoyed the story. I really enjoyed all the boss fights and stuff. Mm-hmm. I did play it with enemy health turned down, simply because, not because I was even struggling with it necessarily, but because I was a bit bored sometimes fighting a room full of like 10 goons. And then a cutscene plays, and then more goons arrive, and then you have to kill them as well. That was probably my only complaint about the game, pretty much, that I can think of at all. I've not had any more glitches since we talked about the couple of minor issues we had.
Good.
I think it looked great. It played well. I really enjoyed the story. The whole sort of third act really surprised me. Yeah. I expected a lot of the, I don't know how spoilery I should be at this point. We all know, everyone knows that Kraven the Hunter is in it. Right? Mm-hmm. We all know that. And almost probably everyone knows that the symbiote suit is in it, right?
Yes.
That's not a huge spoiler. So I expected, right, there's obviously going to be a big fight with Kraven at some point. That's going to be a boss fight. But then there was a lot more than that as well. And I was like, oh, okay, cool. And even some sort of interesting other like symbiote stuff that I was like, okay, that came out of nowhere. That was kind of cool. Again, being spoiler free. So I really enjoyed it, and it's probably one of the best games I've played this year. I think
I agree. I platinum Spider-Man this week.
Congratulations.
Thank you so much. And yeah, I really enjoyed it. I think that there was, like you say, I think some of the goon fighting is a little bit boring. I just find myself kind of doing the same combination of moves over and over again. And my boyfriend pointed out, and actually, like, it's kind of good, like, I agree with him, in that the kind of spider arms that you have as Spider-Man, mm-hmm. those abilities are kind of boring. And like he pointed out that why has Spider-Man got these cool arms if he's so poor? How has he made these cool arms when he has a house that is falling apart and he can't pay the mortgage on?
It's because his priorities are wrong.
Exactly.
That's why.
But yeah, I really enjoyed the story, and I thought that like a lot of the side stuff was really interesting. They've like kind of, well, they've very much set up a third game, which is good. I think it'll be follow a similar format. I think maybe I'd like the third game to be more Miles heavy, because it felt like this was a Peter Parker Spider-Man with a few bits for Miles kind of thrown in there. But I did like the kind of switching between the two of them and each having their own set of objectives and side bits to do. That was good. My boyfriend experienced loads of glitches compared to me. Really? I don't know why. So we were playing it quite a lot on Sunday. And by the Sunday night, for some reason, his game was just like, you've played for too long. Here are all the glitches we can think of. He did like one of like side kind of like fiery missions that you have to do, like the final one of those. And the game came up with this like pop-up that like spoiled almost who the character was when you like, you kind of find out in a conversation after it's happened. But there's a bit where it comes up like you have to talk to a certain guy. And the game came up with a like mission objective that wasn't actually in the mission, that was probably like coded into the game and then removed. They like kind of revealed who this person was. And it like glitched out a few times where when the cutscene was happening, this character was invisible. You could just see like his clothes and he was like what he was doing, but you couldn't see his like character model at all. And then he turned into a box. Peter Parker turned into a box.
The cube,
which amazing. I thought that they'd fixed, but apparently it's not fixed because it still happened. But yeah, I really enjoyed it. I think the last couple like trophies I had to do were like do 30 consecutive tricks in the air, which just had me like leaping off a building and just flipping constantly as long as I could. But yeah, I had a good time. I thought it was great fun, and I really enjoyed that game. And I'm sad that it's over, and I'm gonna have to wait multiple years until I get the next one. But Insomniac did a great job with that game. They really did.
And Wolverine is apparently set in the same universe.
I'm excited to see what they do with that. I'll miss the traversal of Spider-Man.
I was thinking that.
I don't really want to run around, you know what I mean? I'd rather flip and fly through.
He's a bikey man.
That's true, he might have a motorbike.
And he can probably run on all fours like an animal.
I should hope so.
He can probably climb. He's got claws, can't he?
But he can't swang.
No.
Web wings.
Give him web wings. I also played some House Flipper. Well, on Halloween, I was like, well, I don't want to sit down and play something or watch something. So I just had my boyfriend's Steam Deck and I was playing House Flipper while watching YouTube, so that every time someone rang my doorbell, which was happening a lot, I could put it down and go and give them treats. But yeah, I love House Flipper. I love that game. It's just like a very like head empty in between game. It's good. But yeah, that's what I played this week.
Amazing. I've also platinumed Spider-Man 2. It's so good. I love it a lot. And I got as obsessed with it as I did with the first game, where it was just like, it's like they made a game for me. You know, Spider-Man and Batman are the two most popular superheroes by a considerable margin, but people of a certain age, mine and Peter's age, grew up with some exceptional cartoons in the 90s. And those two superheroes have always held a very special place in my heart. And to have a phenomenal trilogy of Batman games and a phenomenal trilogy of Spider-Man games is like, it's great. Like, I just love the character. And it's so cool. They're you know, as big of a fan of Spider-Man as I am, you know, I'm not a huge comic book guy. So I haven't read much or anything of Spidey's like big stories. So even, you know, some of these surprises and twists and turns in the story, I was like, ooh, I don't know what that is, but I can tell that this is significant. And that's a cool thing that, you know, I would not have expected. And so, yeah, I'm also sad that it's over, but like a really good meal that you just wolf down, and it you're kind of sad that it's over, you still had like a great time.
Yeah.
And you're glad that it was so enjoyable. It's like, yes, I didn't need to pace myself there. I absolutely destroyed it at the speed that I destroyed it at, and I'm okay with that because it was a wonderful time.
Yeah.
To be fair, like, we were talking this week ago and I was thinking, like, they've definitely set up multiple DLCs.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
there's a few avenues that, there's one that I think is a very clear lead into, like, this will be a DLC. Mm. And there's a couple of other little offshoots of things where I'm like, this could absolutely form a DLC, like, no bother, and it would make sense. Because what do we have? Was there two DLCs for the first game?
I think there were three.
Was there three? Mm, there wasn't a DLC for Miles Morales, I don't think. No. But the first game had the Simkarian DLC.
Yeah, the city that never sleeps or something. Yeah.
Was there a Black Cat one as well?
Yeah, she was in all of them. She was in all three.
Yeah, but I didn't know if she had a specific DLC. I don't really remember.
Maybe she wasn't in all three, but she was in the first one, for
sure. But they've definitely set up at least, I think, two, potentially three DLCs, mm-hmm. which is very exciting. And I'm hoping that we won't have to wait too long for those. Please, Insomniac.
The set piece as well, I didn't actually mention that. That was some of the best kind of chase sequences and stuff mm-hmm. that I've played in a long time in any video game.
Yeah.
There are three.
There were three, were there?
Three chapters of Dulk for the first game. Mm-hmm. And they were kind of fine. Mm-hmm. But they added some new characters and they fleshed out some stuff that led into this game. And, mm-hmm. You know, it was more Spider-Man. So that's awesome. And more trophies to get. Yeah, great. Really good game. Sad that it's over. I'm going to try and not let recency bias, you know, make Spider-Man force its way into a high spot in my top five of this year. But it's so good that there's probably it'll weasel its way in.
It's no doubt going to be in at least all of our top fives, if potentially maybe.
It's definitely in my top five. It's just been.
Just where does it fit?
Such a busy bloody year. Beside that, I also, because we streamed the park last week and I brought up the fact that I didn't have all the trophies. Mm. And you guys pointed out, well, you know, it's your favorite game. Why haven't you got the platinum? It doesn't have a platinum, but it does have, obviously, 100% completion. So I did go and get those two trophies, and it turned out it was really easy. One, you just turn around and try to leave at the start.
Oh.
And another one, you go to the bumper cars, the Dodgems, which is the best bit in the entire game, and you just have to interact with an object. So it was easy. It's dead easy. So I've got 100% trophies in the park now. I've completed it.
And speedrun placement.
Mm-hmm. And speedrun placement. There's really not much more I can do with this game apart from play it every Halloween forever until the end of time. And I also got the platinum in Assassin's Creed Mirage because I was thinking about how easy it is to platinum and that I've finished Spider-Man now and there's nothing on the horizon immediately. And so I went in there and got all the collectibles. And I tell you what, going from the traversal and the fast travel, and not just the speed of the fast travel, but like being able to pinpoint a street you want to go to in Spider-Man and it taking you there, and then going to Assassin's Creed Mirage, it was tedious by comparison. Mm-hmm. Assassin's Creed Mirage, still a great game. You know, we spoke about it a lot a couple of weeks ago, you know, the things that we think it could do better and so on. But there's just, it's not a fair comparison because Basim doesn't have superpowers and he can't fly. But going from a game where you can soar around like a majestic Dead Island 2 the Spider and then go to a man who's climbing up the side of buildings sometimes and jumping off most times.
Yeah.
There's no comparing the two. But finished that. That was great. I was really tempted by Alan Wake 2 because the reviews have been so incredible. But I'm going on holiday next week and I just wouldn't have time to play it. So I may get it after that and give it a go.
I need to play the first one. I keep meaning to get around to playing the first one. It's just not happened yet. So maybe I'll play the first one and then I do really want to play the second one because, like you say, it's got such good reviews. Yeah. And there's nothing coming out, at least this month, that I'm potentially like, must play this.
Like a dragon garden?
Yeah.
The man who erased his name?
I'm good, thank you, on that one.
You sure?
Yeah.
It's really good.
A bit of a soft pass on that one. Okay. Right. Yeah.
Well, if you see the man, you let us know.
I know, we'll do. I'm looking for his dragon garden. Is that everything you've played?
Yeah, that's all I've played.
Well, it's time for questions too
now.
I'm
going to turn off the heater now because I'm...
Oh, yes, please. This comes from Joanna. Joanna says, do you think the City Skylines 2 launch was actually as bad as people have made it seem, or are people just overreacting? And do you think that despite all the great launches this year, the amount of broken games tarnishes the reputation of gaming in 2023?
Thank you, Joe.
We did add a little caveat on that question because we did want to talk about broken games. But Joanna asked a question about City Skylines 2. Anyway.
Yes.
Yeah, did you want to talk about City Skylines?
I can do. Ben has an article in front of him, so what, instead of me having to get my...
Yeah, shall I read it?
You read it?
This is from Eurogamer. City Skylines 2 has got off to a bit of a rough start, with many players complaining of performance issues following this week's launch on PC. But while publisher Paradox has been forthright in acknowledging these problems, even prior to launch, insane, somewhat unconventionally, it now wants to make it absolutely clear that no, technical issues aren't because the game is trying to render the teeth of every single person in your city. All this apparently started with a post on the City Skylines subreddit in which one HexCoder0 claimed the game was rendering individual teeth with no LOD level of detail adjustments, even when viewed from far away. They even threw together a bit of a collage feature, a screenshot.
Okay. Featuring?
I assume you're that's what they meant. A couple of character messages, and vitally, two red circles to illustrate their claim. Mm. 2 days later, Paradox, presumably in some kind of damage limitation frenzy given the not exactly glittering reception the game has received, has responded by firing a statement out to press, drawing attention to the bizarre story and denying Molagate is true. Citizen Life Path feature does not tie to Citizen Geometry, and does not affect the performance figures of the characters, Paradox wrote. We know the characters require further work as they are currently missing their LODs, which affect some parts of performance. We are working on bringing these to the game alongside... Alongside general LODs improvements across all game assets. Paradox added that characters feature a lot of details that, while seemingly unnecessary now, will become relevant in the future of the project.
Yeah, so some of the issues people are experiencing were random FPS dips, slowdown and hitches, along with visual issues like irritating shadows flickering on certain buildings. There was also an issue where, for some reason, characters in cities like to just abandon dogs, so there is just packs of feral dogs stuck in people's cities where people just seemingly walk their dogs and then just leave them there, and then there's just loads and loads of dogs just kind of hanging out,
much like some cities in the world, but not necessarily the sort of ones with skyscrapers and glittering things.
Yeah, but like they said, they've been ahead of release. They talked about how the game isn't exactly running how we want it to, but we're still going
to
release
sell it.
And they haven't put forward a console release time yet, which initially was on the plan, because they don't know when it's going to work on consoles.
They don't know when it's going to work on PCs.
Yeah, but even on like really beefy PCs, it's not like an issue of like, oh, your PC's too old, that's why it's not running. Like some of these are on like 40 series RTX graphic cards, which are like really good, so they shouldn't have any issue running this. But yeah, there's UI bugs and issues with the economy system as well. But yeah, it's all very strange. And once again, another game that's released that is broken.
Yeah.
Yes.
So. It's a shame, really, because City Skylines 1 did so well off the back of the fact that SimCity, wasn't it, was, you know...
always online.
Always on my DRM, and you know, people were like, oh, well, screw this. I was looking forward to this game, but I refused to play it. And then City Skylines came out, and everyone was like, hell yeah, this is the game we were looking for.
Yeah.
And now they've just completely, kind of dropped the ball, let's say, with this one, so it's a shame. It's hard to kind of quantify whether there has been an uptick on games releasing broken. And you have to like weigh up, well, how broken is broken? You know, some games release and they're borderline unplayable because they're super, super glitchy. Some of them just have interesting, strange things going on, like Spider-Man turns into a cube. You know, I don't think anyone would say that Spider-Man 2 released in a glitchy state.
No, I didn't have any real issues.
Yeah, I like a couple of things that could have happened in any game. Like Kieran as well with Assassin's Creed, our editor Kieran has had a few moments where he's got like stuck behind ladders.
Yeah,
and stuff.
Well, I think I found the exact same bug. So right. Yeah, they're like consistent.
So these
bugs.
Things happen, and we are now unfortunately in an era where they're to be expected. And games are more complex now, so there are more and more permutations and ways that things can go wrong that can't necessarily be ironed out in quality control, or they'll be identified in quality control, but they're like, ship it anyway, we'll fix it in post with a patch. But that kind of thing, as I say, we've come to expect it, and we're kind of accepting it now. this is a kind of a different kettle of fish by the sounds of it, because it's, as I say, not really running at all. And has there been an increase, not in games that are just a bit glitchy, like Assassin's Creed, for example, or any sort of game of that scale, has there been an increase in games that are kind of almost broken like this, do you think?
It feels like this year we've talked a lot about games launching and being
in a bad state.
In a bad state. Like Jedi Survivor, we let it get away with a lot, but that game launched bad. Like, it had a bad launch. It didn't run on most consoles. Like, you struggled the entire way through. Yeah. And Payday 3 launched terribly. And there's been others, and there will be more, I think. And I think even to a certain extent, the games that have released, not unplayably buggy, but there's still games that are releasing with bugs that are kind of a problem, or just even small bugs that are dotted here and there. There's things that have been releasing where, like, it doesn't feel like games are as polished as they have been in recent years. But I don't know if maybe that's just because we've been more aware of it this year, because it's been on bigger releases, or if there has been a general increase.
Yeah.
What do you think?
It could well be exactly that. It could be some sort of statistical anomaly, and that there's just an obscene amount of games releasing this year anyway. And so, yes, there are more broken games this year, but that's just because there are 1,000 million games releasing this year.
Yeah.
It's also the, I think you may have seen this as well going around on various social media, the best year in terms of games getting review averages in the 90s. I don't know if that's ever, but certainly in the last like 20, 23 years, it's the highest by a considerable margin. So it has been an unbelievable year for games. But when you're releasing 25 games a week, obviously you stand a much higher chance of there being more, you know, better reviewed games than ever before, and also more broken games than ever before.
Yeah,
this stuff, you're right in that it is seemingly on the rise, but I feel like this year it may just feel like there are more, because there's just more games coming out.
But do you think it's because a lot of the games that we're seeing issues with are much bigger releases? Then I feel like we haven't had a AAA game or anything come out in recent years that's been quite so... Well, obviously there was Saints Row last year, but of the games that came out last year and then games that came out this year, I feel like given, you know, 10 minutes, I could name way more games this year that came out a buggy mess last year or the year before.
Yeah, it feels like each year kind of recently has maybe like one or two standouts, like Cyberpunk or Saints Row, whereas this year maybe it is more like there's like a handful at least. So, yeah, maybe it's just affected some bigger games more this year than it has sort of AA.
One thing that is absolutely true is that it's just out-and-out greed that these games are being released the way they are. You know, the fact that Paradox even hinted that, it's not really where we want it to be. Just fair warning, but that'll, you know, give us money, please. We'll still sell it to you. That's unacceptable. And I know that there's obviously... It's a lot more complicated than that. They've been working on this game for however long. They need to start making their money back, you know, because they've got all sorts of overhead and paying the staff and the games. They've already sunk this much money in. They've got promises to publishers, etc. There's a lot going on there, but it doesn't change the fact that these games are intentionally being released not ready, and that's terrible for everyone. I feel like I've been very lucky this year because it hasn't really affected many games that I was particularly interested in. Like, you know, I have great sympathy for City Skylines players and Payday players and stuff like that. But I'm very lucky in that those aren't really games that I would spend a lot of time with anyway. But you would have thought, you know, how do they keep getting away with it?
Well, this is the exact thing. Like, a lot of the times when you think like, oh, you know, this happened, but then everyone kind of moves on to the next thing so quickly, which is kind of the circle of what's happening in the world, regardless of this whole situation. But I just think that, like, in the same way that we're just letting studios get away with sacking half of their staff at the moment and just kind of being like treating them like trash, we're like, well, you know, That's so sad right now, but next week something else is going to happen and it's going to have kind of overtaken the news cycle. It's just how quick things are going. But people just are getting away with it so much better now. I mean, not everyone, don't get me wrong. Like the producers of Gollum, they're gone now, yeah. RIP. But like EA releasing Jedi Survivor in the state that they did. I mean, Payday 3 again, they've not got away with it, but because no one's talking about it anymore, they will get away with it. Like, they'll patch some stuff, they'll fix some bits and pieces up, and then it'll be fine.
Well, even Rockstar, you know, like bringing out the GTA trilogy.
Yeah. And then charging loads for Red Dead.
And charging loads for Red Dead. But, you know, everyone talked for a couple of weeks about how bad the GTA trilogy was. And that really was just greed, wasn't it?
You
used AI to flip out a game and sell it. But, you know, if and when they actually start telling us about GTA 6, people are just going to lap it up and say, I can't wait.
Yeah.
And admittedly, that's because they have presumably been putting every single resource they can into GTA 6, and they put barely anything into the trilogy. So GTA 6 is, I'm sure, going to be a very, very good game. But just because one product is going to be good because they focused on it, it doesn't justify the fact that they can say, well, yeah, we didn't really have the resources to do the other game. Well, maybe you shouldn't have tried to sell it then.
Yeah,
agreed.
Yeah.
Going back to, I know it was a slightly tweaked question of Joe's, but do you think that despite all the great launches this year, the amount of broken games tarnishes the reputation of gaming in 2023? I'm not trying to start another conversation here, but I think the thing that really tarnishes such an amazing year of video games is all the job losses.
Yeah.
And we haven't had a question this week about the Bungie job cuts, which are obviously horrible and tragic as well. I think I saw a figure that we're up to about 6,000 cut jobs this year so far in the games industry.
Bungie stuff was bad as
Yeah, because they like lost all their stock stuff as well.
Yeah, and all of their coverage, because their coverage ran to the end of the month, they sacked them on the 30th, so they only had one day left of coverage.
It was vindictive and calculated and ridiculous. Awful. And if anything is going to be a dark cloud over such an amazing year of video games, it's going to be the people who made those amazing video games possible losing their jobs en masse.
Yeah.
It's a really rough industry to work in, and our heart goes out to all the Bungie employees affected by that. That's really dreadful. But yeah, the buggy launches aren't helping either, and that's on the rise, whether it's because there are more games out this year and it just seems that way, or whether it's just because people can sort of get away with it now.
I like that every time a studio puts a white text on black background, we're so sorry we've let you down, people just in replies are like, another one to the collection, and then just send a picture of like all the other ones that they've received this year.
The other thing, not that we're at the end of the year yet, but the other thing that I think we'll remember 2023 for in gaming is the acquisition in all capitals.
Goodness me,
that's true.
I mean, that was actually, it's been a year and a half, but
it finally happened.
It's happened
all of 2023.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, if there were any more acquisitions, that would be a bit strange, wouldn't it?
It would.
A little bit peculiar.
And it would probably make the headlines. It's time for Weird News.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
It's Weird News time. Time for some weird video game news. If you'd like to submit some weird gaming news to us, you can do so via the post that goes out on Facebook and Twitter on a Tuesday. However, if you want to guarantee yourself a shout out at this point in the podcast, you need to go to patreon.com/teamtriplejump, support us at the appropriate tier, and become a podcast producer just like
G.Y. Goliath,
Nicole Hansen,
Duncan Wilson,
Katie Jarrett.
Eric Siu.
Potato Shack 99.
Melody L. Bonnet.
Nexus Polaris.
Gabrielle Philippink.
Blake Thomas.
Janet Wicks.
Wicks. And Great Giggity. Thank you, podcast producers. Were you able to verify these with Fraser this week? Because he's not in, are you?
I do it myself.
Oh, you do it yourself? You double check it?
Yeah, I'm a strong, independent woman. I don't need Fraser to tell me.
I normally just send it to Fraser.
I know how to use the website.
Okay, that's fine. I'm not done. Jesus Christ, she just squared up to me. Just double checking. Goodness me.
I don't need Fraser. I can do it myself.
Peter.
Yeah?
Do you have a weird news?
I've got a weird news here that was sent via one of the two. I can't remember.
All right.
I looked at both. I think it was...
They're both bad.
Twitter. Oh, I can tell you it was Twitter because I've got the handle. It was from Aurelie Caprido, heart, heart emoji.
Hard, hard.
At Aural _ Noisu. I hope I've said that right. Who sent us this article from gamesindustry.biz, written by Sophie McAvoy, staff writer. Nintendo pulls drink driving game from digital store due to PEGI 3 plus rating.
Oh.
PEGI is currently investigating the issue. Nintendo has removed Need for Spirit Drink and Drive Simulator from the eShop.
I saw this last week, but it was like, there's a
they
drink and drive
it Need
simulator.
For Mead.
They could.
Or Mead for Speed.
Yeah.
Well, there's some other booze thing in there.
Surely Spirit for Speed works better, not Need for Spirit, right?
No, I think both of them are.
Bad.
Yeah,
but
clunky.
Yeah.
Need for Weed. They could have just done a different driving under the influence game.
Yeah.
Don't do that either, folks.
Nintendo removed Need for Spirit Drink and Drive Simulator from the eShop following an investigation by PEGI. As reported by Margaret, sorry. as reported by Eurogamer, the game was allegedly assigned a PEGI 3 plus rating through the International Age Rating Coalition, which is a free self-submitted process. This would suggest that the game is suitable for all ages, despite including alcohol and tobacco. A game involving such substances must be rated PEGI 16 or 18 per the European Video Game Content Rating System.
PEGI 3. That's so funny.
Need for Speed... Drink and Drive Simulator is rated PEGI 16 on the Epic Games Store and unrated on Steam. GamesIndustry.biz has contacted the game's developer, Atomic Fabric, for further clarification. And the PEGI spokesperson clarified to Eurogamer, when an investigation shows that the PEGI rating changes by more than one age category, the game is taken down and Nintendo requires that game resubmitted with an accurate rating to ensure parental control tools work properly.
Interesting. So until they were caught, Nintendo pro drink driving.
Yeah.
That's what I'm getting.
Pro drink driving for kids.
Yeah.
For toddlers.
They think kids should just get absolutely flip faced and get behind the wheel.
Pro toddler cigarettes as well.
Yeah.
There they are. You are, aren't you, Nintendo?
Yeah.
You devious beasts.
Deviants. Anyway, I have some news too.
Go on.
It's from Bartek at BartolBB on Twitter, from Dextero, written by Michael Gwilliam.
Gwilliam.
Yeah, look. Gwilliam.
Oh, hello.
Gwilliam.
How's it spelled?
G. Williams.
It's a bit Welsh, that.
It really is.
Well, I thought maybe it was Michael G. William, but the W's
G.
not
William.
Capitalized. Yeah, anyway. The news is Amaranth reveals beer company wants her pap smear to brew new flavors.
I hate this one. Woo-hoo!
Oh, yes, God. Thank you, internet, for doing it again.
So much.
Kick and OnlyFans star Caitlin Amaranth Siragusa, did not know her name was Caitlin, has revealed that a beer company in Poland will be using her vaginal smear as an ingredient to brew a special new flavour. Amaranth has taken the internet by storm with her hot tub streams, shock investments and partnerships to sell everything from fart jars to her bathwater. But she has a new product that could put all of those to shame. In an exclusive interview with Dextero, the OnlyFans model was asked about how she had previously teased a new drink following the success of Logan Paul and KSI's Prime and filled some details about the upcoming beverage. According to the Twitch streamer, Polish brewery The Order of Yoni wants to use her for a new beer, and she's surprisingly excited about the opportunity. Siragusa confirmed that she will be working with the company to produce this beer, and they have a history of using models' smears for quite a few years now. I'm actually working with the beverage company. It's not my own. I'm still doing that project. There's a beer company. They're European. They want me to send in my vaginal yeast, the streamer revealed. Basically like a pap smear myself, they want to make beer using my vaginal yeast, like the same profile, I guess. The Order of Uni, however, said that they are using lactobacillus, not yeast.
Right.
They delved more into the process. It involves the isolation of lactic acid bacteria followed by an intensive safety procedure to make sure that only the lactobacillus bacteria is used and is completely healthy. The gynecologist collects a vaginal smear from the models. These smears are taken to a laboratory where bacteria are isolated, cleaned, and analyzed and multiplied. At the end of the process, the bacteria are used to produce the pure lactic acid that goes into yoni beer.
Why? Well, I know why.
And then Amaranth says that she has no doubts that it will sell and it will be money in a bottle. Yeah. It's hilarious. I think people will buy it for sure. I don't know if they'll actually drink it. I mean, they'll probably drink it, she laughed. And apparently there is, it's happened before.
I love that it's like, after the end of that process, it says, and then we put the pure lactic acid into the beer.
Yeah.
Well, you can probably just buy that by the gallon from suppliers. But I understand the whole point of the
I dislike the story.
Yeah.
A great deal. Yeah, it makes me kind of uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Because I know who's going to buy this. Mm-hmm. Great job, Amaranth. Honestly, you know,
she
get
knows
it.
How to get her back.
You get your money. You do what you got to do. I respect it. Mm-hmm.
I think it's gross.
But this market shouldn't exist. Mm-hmm. This market simply should not. It's an affront to Jesus Christ, and it's not her fault. She's not the one buying it. Mm-hmm. But
someone offered her to do it. I mean, part
a lot
is
of people
like,
are going to prison for this. And it's not her.
No, they're not going to prison. They're going to hell. Straight to hell.
God prison.
Yeah.
So
that's my weird news. Thank you, Bartek.
Yeah. Good God.
Yeah. Thanks for that.
Really love it.
Somehow, like, God, I never thought anyone could outdo Gwyneth Paltrow, but like, that's way worse. That is way worse than that.
Mm. What was it? What was her thing?
Scented candles.
Scented candles with her vagina. Yeah, I couldn't remember
and, like,
what
her
it,
PAs
I know it was.
Were saying, yes, it does smell just like her vagina.
Yeah.
Like, okay.
Yeah. It's weird. Mm-hmm. My weird news comes from Jonathan Wong off of Facebook. And this is a Push Square article written by Kale Adam. Yeah?
Yeah.
What's up?
Isn't it Push Square? Don't they normally have random? I was just getting ready, that's all.
Sorry, I thought Peter had done something.
No, I was taking an inhale so that I could do my random.
Larian sets South Park straight on Baldur's Gate 3 PS5 cross-save functionality. Lots to unpack there.
What's it called? What's the show called?
You okay? South Park.
Is that still going?
Yeah, occasionally. Apparently, they've just Trey Parker and Matt Stone have just been paid $900 million to see it through to season 30.
Jesus,
and how many more seasons 30? Is
that? 30. They're on 27, 26 now.
$900 million to do three.
It makes
more
apparently it makes Paramount money and a Paramount Pictures an obscene amount of money. They've got
Who
this streaming service.
Watches it?
I think they've been. Both of them have been quite vocal about the fact that they don't want to make any more South Park. And I think in one of the most recent seasons, they had a running joke, which was like on screen, it would say hashtag cancel South Park. And they would just see what they could get away with. And it was everything. They got away with literally everything you can imagine. But they're still going and they've been paid, you know, good
for
them.
Imagine paying $1 billion to get two people to make something that you know they don't want to make.
Yeah.
Would you not worry that maybe the quality might drop off?
It's still
off a
good
bit?
That this is from a special that's just aired and it's going down very well.
Because we all know what happened with Game of Thrones where they wanted to hurry up and finish it.
Well, that's true. I don't know. They are so minted. I don't know what else. They don't need to do anything else. Anyway, let's get on with it. As further proof that epic RPG Baldur's Gate 3 has truly broken into the mainstream, Larian's latest was featured in the most recent episode of South Park entitled South Park Joining the Pandaverse. In the episode, Cartman, living in an alternate reality and played by Janisha Adams Ginyard? You know, have you heard of her?
No, okay. But it looks about right.
Is fearful of losing more than 50 hours of BG3 progress and asks, do save games not cross multiple universes? To which Stan replies, save games don't even cross between PCs and PS5s. Why would they cross between multiple universes? Larian's social team was quick to set the record straight, as PC and PS5 cross-save functionality does indeed function in Baldur's Gate 3, though sadly, cross-multiverse functionality is not available at this time. You can check out the clip in question below, and there's the tweet there.
Mm-hmm.
Hello at South Park. While Baldur's Gate 3 saves can't cross multiversal barriers, we can confirm they do actually transfer between PC and PS5. And there we are.
Get it right. Wow.
Did you catch the episode in its entirety?
No.
No.
I've not caught.
Are you still as surprised
of South Park
as we are that Baldur's Gate broke out the way that it did? Pay us $900 million in the comments below.
Wow.
Yeah, there we go. Wow. I'm going to watch that episode tonight.
Looking honestly, to it. I was more surprised that South Park's still going.
Yeah.
Yeah.
More than
it's sort of they're anything. In that place now where they don't have to try in the sense that they do like 6-episode seasons and you get one every few years or something.
They still make The Simpsons too.
Oh, yes.
Mm. Like actual episodes.
Yeah. Every year, like clockwork. For the longest time, I tried to keep up and I've now stopped because I wasn't enjoying it.
Yeah.
And I haven't enjoyed it for years. So Family Guy's still going. American Dad's still going. Oh, like clockwork every year.
Richard and Mortimer,
they take bigger actors. Breaks though.
Yeah.
New voice actors are pretty good, actually.
Yeah, they are actually very convincing.
Solar Opposites was good as well.
It's like, what?
Solar Opposites is good too. They replaced Justin Roiland there, but they replaced him with a completely
with
different
an English
guy.
Man, yeah.
It's great. I thought it was really funny.
Voice is apt.
He does. It's good. I like it. Well, that was weird news.
Hmm.
It's time, everyone, for the big discussion.
Oh.
It's the big discussion time for the big video game discussion, which this week comes courtesy of Chris McVeigh. And Chris says, hi, Bap.
Hiya.
Hello.
A new policy from Microsoft is coming into effect soon, with reports from some Xbox users that unlicensed third-party accessories are causing warnings from the console that they will stop working after the 12th of November. Apparently, this is intended to curb the rise of cheat devices that let you spoof a keyboard and mouse as a controller for unfair advantages. But it also seems like it's going to affect things like custom fight sticks and cheap no-brand controllers, which might not be common, but are at least used in good faith. Is it unfair to effectively force everyone to use only Xbox-branded/approved accessories, or are these acceptable losses when stopping cheating is on the line? Thank you, Chris. I've got a write-up here from Engadget. Microsoft,
that's a funny name. Sorry, carry on.
Engadget. Microsoft is putting its foot down when it comes to unauthorized controller use. The company has begun banning any third-party Xbox controllers and accessories that aren't part of the Designed for Xbox Hardware Partner program. A gamer posted the news to Reset Era after plugging in an Xbox compatible controller and receiving a notification about the ban. The error code is explained in detail on Microsoft's support blog. From the moment you connect an unauthorized accessory and receive error code 0x82D60002, remember that one, you'll have 2 weeks to use the accessory, after which time it will then explode. It will then be blocked from use with the console. Microsoft's advice, get in touch with the company you bought the controller from and return it. A bit savage, but very clear. And also, they will not...
Oh my God.
They will not be giving you a refund.
Microsoft's motivation for the crackdown could stem in part from a desire to block cheat devices like Cronus Zen. Fellow gaming companies have been working hard to ban their use during gameplay. Of course, Microsoft's decision could also stem from a probable increase in sales of their own controllers and accessories. We now turn to Kotaku. This is a tweet from Maximilian Dude, who is a prominent internet man.
Mm.
Heyo, Phil Spencer, Xbox, and Matt Booty. This is essentially a death sentence for local fighting game events that run on Xbox, much less others that can only afford one arcade stick. Fighting game content creator and expert Maximilian Dude tweeted on October the 29th as the news spread.
It's a dude with two O's.
Whoa.
Super cool.
Would be cooler if it was zeros.
That's so true.
Dezeroed.
Yeah.
Derude. The Brook Gaming Fans converters are not cheat devices. They're a huge boon to the fighting game community. Please reconsider. The biggest question about the new restrictions is whether peripheral makers will be able to apply to become authorized suppliers, or if the ban will remain in place for anyone who doesn't have a branded deal with Xbox. That would mean companies paying Microsoft for authorization, potentially increasing the costs of the devices themselves, or forcing some manufacturers to stop making devices for Xbox entirely. This is the situation that's already in place on PlayStation, and it's a huge drag. The PS5 only supports officially licensed controllers and accessories, of which there are very few. Most are also quite pricey. Mm. The result has been a near total lockdown that gives players few alternatives to Sony's DualSense. Microsoft now seems to be heading in the same unfortunate direction, it says. There is an update here. A spokesperson for Microsoft confirmed the ban will go into effect and said it's for performance, security, and safety.
Yeah, right.
Microsoft and other licensed Xbox hardware partners' accessories are designed and manufactured with quality standards for performance. Hang on, what? Okay, yeah, it says the same thing again. quality standards for performance, security, and safety, they wrote in a statement. Unauthorized accessories can compromise the gaming experience on Xbox consoles, and it says in brackets what Xbox consoles are. Players may receive a pop-up warning that their accessory is unauthorized. Eventually, the unauthorized accessory will be blocked from use to preserve the console gaming experience. The full list of supported devices going forward is available on Microsoft's website.
You know how we were saying just a few minutes ago about how it all comes back to greed?
Money.
And money.
Money.
And this is what it feels like to me. I know that it's like, oh, well, maybe it's because they're stopping cheating. No, it's not. It's not. They want you to buy their thing. They want you to buy a cheaper alternative. They want you to buy their thing and then deal with it. I've seen a lot of people posting about how they have like driving, like steering wheel setups. Yeah. And those aren't going to work.
Yeah.
Because their adapter that they use to plug it into their Xbox
is one of these
a blocked thing. And they're like, I'm not going to buy an entirely new setup that's going to cost me so much money just because you don't want me to use this tiny device that it makes it work on your console. And it's I think it's bad for accessibility.
I was going to say that, yeah.
I think it's a huge step backwards. I know that everyone has their own accessible controller in terms of like Sony made their little circle one. I can't remember what it's called. Mm-hmm. And Xbox, I think, definitely do have an accessible controller as well. But if you are someone that needs an accessible controller and you can't afford that one, but you can get one from, so I assume places like Able Gamers and that
Special Effects.
They
make lots of custom stuff.
And I would assume that those stuff is authorized on both PlayStation and Xbox. I would assume that Xbox have reached out or vice versa and said, yeah, your controllers will still work.
Yeah.
But these charities and these alternative accessible controllers, if they're not all going to work, that's going to limit the choice of people who need these controllers exponentially. And if they can't use the Xbox One, they can't afford it. It just means that they can't play games, which is just so rubbish.
Yeah, I mean, especially given that, you know, there are lots of different people with lots of different specific needs out there. And so although there are official accessible controllers, certain people might have a very specific situation where that controller doesn't actually work for them, or it doesn't help them, or there might at least be a different kind of controller that would be even better for them.
Yeah.
And yeah, as you say, hopefully...
I'm going to have a look to just see if special effects...
some of the charities, the major charities who supply these things have got a sort of a license or are in some way permitted to continue to have controllers that work with the consoles. But we don't know, and it is a bit of a concern. But yeah, even that, putting that aside, you know, people are just... they're not trying to cheat. They've just got a really cool driving setup. Or they want to play...
fighting stick.
Or use a fighting stick or something like that. Like, that's not someone cheating. That's just someone trying to play their own way and a way that works for them.
Mm-hmm.
That is really unfortunate.
Yeah. Microsoft has always received, and Xbox, a lot of praise from charitable organizations. Whenever I see Special Effect doing something with console, it seems to always be on Xbox.
Mm.
And I've never applied much thought to it. I didn't actually know about PlayStation having their stuff locked down and having that be locked down for ages, because I'm just not part of these communities that would either need accessible controllers, or I don't play driving games with a rig. I don't play fighting games.
Yeah.
So I've always just quite happily used the, you know, the standard controller.
Mm-hmm.
But when I have observed, when thinking about it, when I have seen Special Effect post about stuff, they're always working with Microsoft, or they've always got people with these special setups, and they're playing on an Xbox or something like that.
Mm.
And so surely something can be worked out here if there isn't already an agreement in place. But yeah, this, I can see how this would just be hugely disappointing. Beyond, if it was just, hey, your crappy Mad Catz controllers, sorry, we're not supporting those anymore. There are third-party alternatives out there, but they work with us through an official program.
Yeah,
we're clamping down on, you know, cheaters, that would be one thing. But as you guys have pointed out, and as the article points out, obviously this clampdown is happening because we're going to stop cheating, and that's it, is actually having a far wider reaching effect.
Yeah. And there is just the general point of like expense as well. Some people have their third party controllers because they're a lot cheaper and that's all they can afford. And again, they're not trying to cheat. It's just a slightly strange looking, almost kind of they might have the same shape and all the same buttons, but it just doesn't have the symbols on it, or doesn't have the branding, and it's maybe made out of worse plastic, and that's you know, that's going to be difficult for certain people as well who can't afford necessarily to buy a controller if it breaks. I did see quite a funny hard drive article though, headline that said, little brother distraught as Xbox stops supporting only controller he's allowed to use.
Oh, no.
So I've looked it up, and from what I can gather, the only supported adaptive controller for disabled gamers is the Xbox One.
Okay.
They've got a list of like, so on that quote that they said of like, here's the list of all the accessories that you can use.
Yes.
It's only their one that's on there.
Right.
But according to some like disabled gamer advocates, they're apparently like in talks about how it'll affect adaptive controllers and stuff. But they've said like, oh yeah, it won't affect our adaptive controller, but there's no talk about whether it will affect external use.
Yeah, because there will be other smaller charities. Who,
yeah, exactly.
You know,
I'd like to think that they will work something out where there will be some kind of license granted to specific places. But I'm not a hardware engineer. I don't know how this stuff works, but surely there's got to be a better way to cut out the poison than to just several communities in one fell swoop.
And the idea that it is to stop cheating, I'm not saying it's that's a complete lie, but there are many other issues out there that also facilitate cheating. It's not just hardware, and you know, it would be nicer to see them work on things like that rather than start taking
people
away
who are obviously moving at higher speeds in games. Like something's going on there.
It's as much as it's framed, you know, that it's for security and everything else, I can't see that being true. Like, it doesn't make sense how for years these like third party controllers haven't been an issue. Obviously there is a specific one that is an issue, but it's never been a problem, and now it suddenly is a problem, and it's something that's going to limit and stop, I think, a whole bunch of people being able to play, because the controllers aren't cheap. They're still 60-70 quid for a controller. So it's not like if you've been playing with a third party controller for a little while now, it's fine, it's just another 60-70 quid. We're in a cozy lives, Microsoft. We haven't all got £64 billion we can splash on Activision. Like, we can't always afford a new controller every few months because you won't let us use the ones that are cheaper. So it's a shame. It's a real shame, and it does feel greedy, and it's a shame that, and I'm not just saying this for Xbox, it's a real shame that Sony does this as well.
Yeah.
Clearly they've done it under the radar, and I don't remember ever seeing news about like this has just happened from them. So I don't know if it's been like happened for a while and we just missed the news story, or from the beginning, or what, but it's a real shame that this is the way that it's going for console gamers. And it's just, I think it won't be long until maybe Nintendo do a similar thing where they'll stop third party controllers being used. But at least if you've got a PC, you can plug whatever you want into it.
You certainly can. And I mean, this is absolutely a move that I could see PlayStation doing, because they just, I don't care.
They don't really
care about the bad press because they're quote unquote winning. So you know what? Go flip yourselves. We're going to do this. But Xbox has been on such a positive trend for the longest time in terms of their charm offensive and their PR. And they're like, hey, we're all gamers here. Let's all hang out and play games. We love games as much as you love games. And this feels like a big misstep.
Yeah.
And it needs to be addressed. Either they make some concessions, because they're still good. I think they'll do it, but they'll come up with some concessions. They'll clarify the partner program perhaps, and how, you know, open it up for people to apply a bit more easily. But outwardly, this doesn't look great at the moment. And I imagine probably, but even perhaps by the time this episode goes out, Phil Spencer will have tweeted something and said, "We hear you. We're gonna work on this. We hope you understand that it is. It's not that we want to sell you more Xbox controllers. That's not it at all. Although, please go to the design labs because you can make some really cool stuff there.
Yeah.
This is legitimately about some bad actors, and we're gonna make good on the communities that this sweeping policy change will affect.
I'm intrigued by the reference to security there. I can understand it being like against cheaters, but I don't understand necessarily what the reference to security is.
The hackers plugging keyboards into their Xbox and
say,
hacking
I'm
the
in.
Mainframe.
It does remind me though, of on the PS2 in the sort of early days of online play, apparently people who were playing, I think it was like Tony Hawk's Underground on multiplayer or one of the Pro Skater games, if you plugged a a keyboard into your controller and went on the in-game messaging service, there wasn't a character limit on the hash symbol. There was a character limit on letters, but you could just send like a million hashes. Mm. And if you did that, it would immediately hard crash their console. And they would have to turn their controller, their great. Console off.
Yeah. It's like that good. Text message you could send to people on iPhones for a while that would make their phones crash.
Yeah.
That's really good. Love that stuff. Well, I mean, obviously this isn't great. Hopefully we get an update soon and these communities are still able to operate on Xbox as they were before. But we will let you know if we hear anything. But what do you think about all this? What do you think about what we've discussed today? Make sure you let us know in the comments below. And there are various other places on the internet as well where you can reach out directly and talk to us about it too.
We are at youtube.com and twitch.tv/TeamTripleJump. All our videos are on YouTube and most of our streams are on Twitch. And if you've got Amazon Prime and you are paying for that bundle, part of that bundle includes a Twitch sub. You get all the normal benefits of being a subscriber, but at no extra cost on top of what you're already paying for Amazon Prime.
Yes.
We have Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok, on which we are at Team Triple Jump on all of them. And if you want to join our Patreon, like Ben said earlier, to get early access to Weirdest Games, Rules Boss is coming out. Well, it's out actually now. Next month's main menu, all kinds of things over there. And make sure you ask your questions when I go to patreon.com/TeamTripleJump.
TripleJ.mup, that's TripleJU.mp, is our website. There you can find links to everything that we do. And why not leave a 5-star review on your platform of choice? It helps something to do with Al Gore's rhythms, and we'd really appreciate it.
We would.
The podcast is free. And if you want, you could go do a review for free as well. 5 stars, though, please.
One star. Told me to leave a review.
No, don't do that. Don't even incept the thought into their naughty brains. Just enough time to talk about this week's sponsor again.
Oh, yeah. It was a really good one this
thank
week.
You. I actually worked really hard.
Yeah, I thought you did.
I thought about it.
It was really good when Peter started offering you tips of how you could have made it better.
Mm-hmm. I didn't need them.
I worked really hard as well.
I didn't need them. I've thought a long time about how to pronounce certain bits and how to read it. So here we go. Yeah. This is a police appeal for the owner of a big lizard garden. They're not sure who it is or where he's gone. Yeah. Maybe he changed his name or something. You know, I'll just read the headline.
Yeah.
Police are searching for like a dragon garden. The man who erased his name.
It doesn't make sense.
Thank you so much for watching /listening, everybody. We'll see you next time.
Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.